call the vote. Please announce item number six.
From the Director of the Department on Audit, submitting an informational report providing a review of issues regarding our space contracts for peer support services. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Hare.
Good morning, Chairperson West, members of the committee, Jerry Hare, Director of Audit. Late last year, we became aware of some concerns that had been shared with Mr. Colon and Ms. Lucia at the Department of Health and Human Services. It was 9 very specific allegations about conduct and behavior of an agency with which we contract for a number of things, including peer support specialists. We worked with Mr. Colon and his staff to review all 9 of the allegations, and those are presented to you in the May 4th correspondence that we submitted to Mr. Colon. What we did is we laid out the allegations from those in the community who raised these concerns. We laid out the views of our space management, and we weighed in with our own perspective on those allegations. As I said, there were 9 items, and I could walk you through each of them if you'd like. But
what is the purview of the committee?
Madam Chair, I would like to know which were the 9 other 9 items, and thank you, Madam Chair, that was more you had more concern about, so we can discuss those. Not the ones was like the ones that you have more concerns about, and what was your conclusion to that?
Perfect. Thank you, Madam Chair. That will work quite well.
All right.
I think of the 9, where we saw the need for a change in how either our space or DHD and DHHS conduct their business. If you look at the 11 areas where we had recommendations, or the 11 recommendations, you'll see the areas that we thought there was a need for improvement. 8 of those are directed towards human services, and 4 of them are directed towards our space. I think, in our view, a couple of the issues were more important than all the others, not the least of which was the concern about background checks, especially when you're dealing with very sensitive clients. And I think that what we found in that situation was a point where the background check process could be improved, and that should be a more rigorous part of our human services quality assurance protocol. For that reason, that's issue number 2. We do have 4 recommendations to tighten up on the background checks. Item number 3 was also of concern to us because it involved sexual harassment allegations, and that's something obviously we take very seriously with the clients in our care. What we found was that there was indeed an incident in May of 2009 that did result in removal of an employee from our space. And what happened in the time since then is that the individual was rehired as part of an effort to balance the need for sensitivity in dealing with patients, and also in balance with the opportunity to help one of the peer specialists who was involved in the situation grow and benefit from his prior mistakes. I should probably stop for a minute and just make sure that we're all on the same page with what peer specialists do. They are generally there to help with mental health treatment from their perspective as people who have also experienced recovery in the past. They help with their own personal experiences, they provide assistance to getting mental health resources, they provide support for our consumers, and they also help set goals and direction. So these are, by definition, people who have a background in human services, mental health services, that is based on their own personal experience, and that's a value that they bring to treatment. So when we saw the item 3 with the sexual harassment, that this is a situation where there was a judgment call by our space management, we just laid that out for your consideration. We have no recommendation with regard to that point. The final key issue in our view was one that was the most difficult to get our hands around, and that was the whole question of the supportive work environment that our space maintains for its employees. We spend a considerable amount of time looking at how employees with issues are dealt with, whether there's retaliation, whether there's respect, whether there's a process for making sure that people with issues in the workplace are properly managed. And this is an area where we have 6 recommendations, 3 directed toward our space and 3 toward human services. The core of this is a whistleblower protection policy that will allow people within the agency to express their concerns about how things are being done without fear of retaliation. You could argue that all 9 of these are serious, but in my view, those are the ones that were of most concern to us as your eyes and ears with the vendors. So I'll leave it at that. And Chair, we're happy to answer any questions. I would point out, too, that throughout this process, we got a lot of support from the people who were expressing these concerns in helping us understand the nine issues. We got a lot of cooperation from our space in terms of getting the issues resolved. And from day one all the way through today, we've got considerable support from Mr. Paul and Ms. Lucy and their staff in helping us understand what was going on so we could present this information to you.
Mr. Colon or Ms. Lucy, do you want to come up and share anything with the committee?
Can I ask Jerry?
Yes, sure.
Sure,
can.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I just wanted to say a few things regarding the audit. I just want to say that we took this very seriously. As you know, I started October 31st, so I was only here a little over a month when I received a call from Barbara and the advocates regarding their concerns. Within days, we met with them and the Department of BHD with Ms. Lucy. And I just want to say that we've taken the recommendations of audit very seriously. We're going to follow their recommendations. In addition to that, outside of the audit, the advocacy groups and Barbara Becker in particular suggested that we do a few additional things along this process. We also are accommodating their request moving forward. So I just want to thank the Department of Audit, the advocates for bringing this to our attention. Our space for also their willingness to address some of the current concerns that were reflected in audit, and the peer specialists, which is so important. As we move forward with our redesign efforts, we're really incorporating peer specialists in a significant way, and we want to be viewed nationally for best practices in how we run this peer specialist program. And we wouldn't be able to do that without the hard work of everybody combined that I just mentioned, BHD, audit, the advocacy groups, and more importantly, our peer specialists. So thank you to all those groups. Thank you to Ms. Lucy and BHD for also their work on all of this and following through with the recommendations and making sure that peer specialist program is something very important to us moving forward.
Thank you very much.
I would just add again to thank you to the audit department. There had been, as I'm sure we'll hear, there had been some conversations with me about issues, and I had been resolving some of those issues as we'd move forward, particularly related to raises and some of those things, and posting of positions. And then we got the letter with some more specific things. The discussions I'd had previously were all set under the veil of confidentiality. No one wanted to bring forth those issues. I tried to resolve them. Then we got this letter. I asked the Department of Audit to please take on, which is somewhat of an unusual audit for them. I'm very appreciative of their willingness to do that and I think provide a very good review of the situation. And again, we appreciate the Department of Audit and our space and all that have been for participants in, I think, giving a very accurate review of the situation. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions from committee on the audit? Supervisor Harris and Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Ms. Bernstein.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Hare, aside from the background issue, which I think was something that it's a very serious issue and something easily documented, in my assessment from reading the nine different complaints and then the responses to the complaints, I couldn't help but wonder if some of this, you know, sometimes there's bitter feelings when employees leave an employer, and especially with the length of time that has elapsed in between when some of these allegations, you know, supposedly took place and when this audit was done. And I'm wondering, are we able to definitively say one way or another that either, you know, there were no sour grapes in some of this or some of it could be? Well, you know, it's a very difficult situation because on the one hand, we have, you know, some well-respected advocacy groups who are taking one position, And when I read your audit, it was very good, as they always are. They're very detailed and in-depth. But, it's hard for us to kind of sit here, or at least in my case, in judgment of some things that were supposedly happened 5, 6, 7 years ago. And it's hard to get, to discern the facts here.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Supervisor Sanfilippo has really caught the nub of especially issue number 6, but it does cut across all the other issues. We did find, and we tried to delicately but bluntly report that out, that there was a small number of former employees, and I want to say a very small number of former employees, who did have friction with management. And that's a given. I mean, that's clear from the correspondence that there's friction at higher levels in both of these advocacy groups and in our space. What we tried to do with all the other issues, not as much with 6, because it really is, there are definite he said, she said kinds of issues here. But with all the other issues, we tried to take the perspectives, whether it was motivated by revenge or altruism, and just build some facts around that. So I think that you've hit the nub of issue number 6, that there's definitely been friction with a small number of employees. But we try to put that in context of the broader procedures and policies and facts that we dealt with in the other 8 issues. It's inevitable. You're going to have friction. This is a difficult environment in which to work. The stress level is high. Funding is low. It's important that we get it right. I mean, there's a pretty significant downside if you fail. You can lose contracts, your people lose their jobs, and more importantly, the clients don't get the services they're entitled to. So tensions are high. You've caught the nub of it. There was some hard feelings, friction.
Thank you. The issue with the disagreement or discrepancy over the pay.
Right.
Was that, in fact, just carrying out a policy that was in place before our space took over those peer specialists?
Madam Chair, I think it was a situation where the policy at the time it was advocated by Milwaukee County was well-intentioned. The stipend approach seemed to make sense at the time. On reflection, it's a head-slapper. Why did we do that? So the transition to an actual wage approach, it makes a lot more sense. And that was one of the easier issues to deal with because the fact, their numbers, their paychecks, their stipends. We just sorted that one out. And fortunately, it's one that they've already remedied. So that was a bit easier to get our hands around.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Supervisor Harris?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Lucy, I wanted to just clarify what you said. You did say that you tried to get in some information regarding the complaints, but you were unable to get those until you got the audit. Did I hear you correctly?
No, I'm sorry, Supervisor Harris, if I led that impression. I wanted to say that there had been some issues that had been brought to my attention that I was working on resolving.
Okay.
Then we got the letter. One of them was this wage thing, was a wage issue. Then we got the letter, and that's when I thought, well, really, we have to have the Department of Audit to be part of this because these are issues that we need a little more clarification about. So I'm sorry if I gave that impression. Our space was cooperative when we were working on the issues before the audit.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Hare?
And just one final point on Supervisor Sample's comments about the friction within the agency. As much as we did end up just laying that out as here's what he said, here's what she said, we do believe that the other recommendations with regard to whistleblower protection and evaluations, more transparency in hiring, quality assurance efforts by BHD, they can all help minimize the extent to which that kind of an issue will surface again in this kind of a forum.
Great. Are there any other comments or questions from committee on the audit? All right. Seeing none. Madam Clerk, please call. I'm sorry. We have cards on item number 6. Mary Neubauer. I want to remind everyone that public comment is limited to 2 minutes.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. My message is short. The situation that occurred with our space, there were some very significant issues. When you look at the pay situation, the minimum wage went up, I believe, in July of 2009 and wasn't resolved until this year. We really need to have higher standards relative to working as peer specialists. I worked for our space and personally didn't have any issues or any problems, so I be clear and from that standpoint. But I really believe that there needs to be an RFP for this situation. I believe extending the contract through the end of the year.
I'm going to need you to keep your comments focused on the audit.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. So I believe there were some really significant issues in there, the whistleblower policy and the fact that there wasn't a grievance policy and needing higher standards and standards that are met with peer specialist employment throughout the state of Wisconsin. Provided you with the employer handbook for your perusal to see what some of those standards are, and the fact that the course of business needs to be consistent in operating with peer specialists, which it hasn't been within our space, as far as a variety of different things, transparency in employment, and just the fact of the situation is, the part of getting into he said, she said kind of things. And the way the audit was conducted was done very professionally. I was part of the audit and appreciate the work that was done. But I can only say not to minimize the fact that there were 11 recommendations that came out of that audit and some of those being very serious. Okay. Thank you.
Beth Ann Barazin. Supervisor Stemper.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I missed who she was.
Okay. Yes, please, when you come up, please introduce yourself. So we have to remember that we have some new new faces at the table. She's Mary Neubauer. She's actually employed as a peer specialist.
I'm Mary Neubauer. I'm a certified peer specialist, and I'm employed by Community Advocates.
So were you employed by our space?
Yes, I was.
And when was that?
I was employed by our space from January of 2012. I was hired by Community Advocates in January of 11, so the year prior, 2010, I worked for our space.
Okay, and you left on your own initiative?
Yes, I did. I was hired on directly through our space. This is kind of like a broker situation, mm-hmm. and I was hired Community Advocates, put peer specialists as a line item in their budget.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Supervisor. All right, Ms. Barazin.
Hello, my name is Beth Ann Barazin. I'm a former certified peer specialist with, I worked at United House for over 3 years. I'm the co-chair of the Redesign Person-Centered Action Team, and I've been on the Community Advisory Board. My background is as a social worker, and I've also been a health facility surveyor, so my expertise kind of comes from all sides of the couch. Okay. I will try to be as succinct as possible, but I think I can answer many questions in terms of the he said, she said, not to decide who wins, but rather just to provide a frame of reference that's very important because this was provided to the auditors, but because of the amount of information, it sometimes gets lost. I'm a little bit nervous because I've been waiting for this opportunity for a long time. So if I could just read this, and I'll be as quick and succinct as possible, but please
understand.
Okay, one of the primary strengths needed in peer support is the willingness and commitment to be self-aware. It is essential that we listen carefully to what people say and have the ability to accept and utilize constructive feedback in a positive manner. If we do not agree with the message we are hearing, we are expected to consider each point in question, examine it for the truthfulness, understand the other's perspective, and why they might draw that conclusion. We do this before we answer, then we collaborate. We don't conjecture, and we don't attempt to destroy the reputation of the messengers. I want to share with you some very real outcomes of damages that have been incurred by peer specialists. And I'm speaking just for myself right now.
If you have something that you'd like to submit to Ms. Collins after the meeting's over, she can copy it and distribute it to the committee.
I respectfully ask to just say that this is a letter from my doctor that indicates that the that he's worked with me for 11 years, and I had to take a leave of absence and go back on medicine as a result of the harassment and the maltreatment I received directly from the director. The grievance policy was written after she was aware of the grievance, and a half hour after asking for it, she sent the director over to tell me that it was being moved to another location because I was creating an unhealthy work environment. When the truthfulness of that statement was explored, suddenly I wasn't being moved because it was unhealthy. I was being moved because they needed me at the other location, even though they had more than adequate staff. They told me that they were overstaffed where I was working, but then the very last day, and they were going to give me 1 day notice to tell the residents after 3 years. And they hired somebody to replace me. Shortly after that, there's just a number of concerns, and I, please do not dismiss me as some kind of whack who's crying, because this is the outcome of what it's like. My goal is to promote the MC3 initiative. My doctor says very clearly, upon careful and detailed investigation, it is my clinical impression that the actions taken by Ms. Barazin's manager have caused significant disruptive and anxiety-provoking results that have triggered the onset of trauma-related symptoms. I can give you email sent directly from Joan Lawrence, where we're asking her for help in crisis situations. Someone was injured, a staff member.
I'm sorry, again, I'm going to need you to discuss the audit, and your time is actually up. So whatever you have that you'd like to submit, Ms. Collins is more than happy to take that and to add that to the record.
The email, this is within the audit, the injured staff person, the safety concerns. And lastly, Joan stated in her answer to the audit that Barbara Beckert hadn't made an effort to reach out to her agency to discuss this. A year earlier, we sat down with Jennifer Meaden and Jim Matthew to discuss exactly the same concerns, and we sent thank you notes. We followed through, and they did nothing. I don't want to disparage them. She does great work, but please take this seriously. If this happened to somebody in a position such as myself, this is why people don't talk.
Thank you. Thank you. Barbara Beckert?
Supervisor West, may I give these checks?
You can give them to Jennifer, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the Health and Human Needs Committee. My name is Barbara Beckert. I'm the director of the Milwaukee Office of Disability Rights, Wisconsin. We're the protection and advocacy agency for people with disabilities in our state, and we are contacted by many people in the community who have concerns about neglect and abuse and other issues. Over the years, we've been contacted by many peer specialists employed by our space with concerns about the work conditions and the many issues addressed in the audit. We appreciate the fact that BHD and the audit did a very conscientious job looking at those concerns, but I do think you should be aware that we've shared these concerns for over a period of 3 years and that there has not been an adequate response during that time, and I believe not adequate oversight of the contract. It shouldn't take advocates having to write a formal letter to address very serious concerns such as hiring on two occasions someone who is in CCAP as a sex offender. A couple things that I want you to consider today. First of all, these are longstanding problems that have been shared and that the agency has not corrected. Secondly, we have in the audit response that Jerry shared with you responses to each allegation from our space. I think if you look that over, you don't see a tone here that, yes, we made some mistakes and we want to correct these and do better in the future. Instead, for example, with the allegations about hiring a sex offender, not once but twice, there's a whole explanation of how, well, the reason we did this is because staff at BHD, Dr. Presby and Jennifer Whitworth, told us to hire this individual. Dr. Presby and Jennifer Whitworth say they did not do this. So someone here is not telling the truth. Is it the staff at BHD or is it the Airspace Executive Director? And I think that's a pattern you see throughout this, that there isn't an admission of responsibility. The response that occurred when we sent out these concerns to BHD in the information that Jennifer is going to be sharing with you is that we all received a letter from an attorney on the R Space board accusing us of libel and slander. All right. Thank you. I wasn't aware there was going to be a two-minute time limit. This hasn't occurred in the past, so I'm sorry. If I had known that in advance, I would have had a written statement.
Peter Huffel.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Health and Human Needs Committee. My name is Peter Huffel. I'm the Executive Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness of Greater Milwaukee. I was one of the signers of the letter, not as an individual, but as a representative of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. I want to point out that when the audit came back, it said that there were seven individuals that signed that letter. That's not true. One of the supervisors mentioned that there's these advocacy agencies that submitted that letter, and that's the truth. It was the National Alliance on Mental Illness, Mental Health America of Wisconsin, Independence First, which is the largest independent living center in Wisconsin, Grassroots Empowerment Project, which is the only statewide consumer-run organization, Disability Rights Wisconsin, which is the protection and advocacy agency for people with disabilities in Wisconsin, and then there was two peer specialists that signed that letter. And the weight of that is because that's our jobs. When people come to us that have disabilities, in this particular instance, people with mental illness, that say that they're working in unhealthy conditions, that part of their job is to be in recovery and to help others in their recovery, and we're told that their recovery is in jeopardy, making it so they're not able to help other people in recovery, this becomes a huge concern. That's why NAMI of Greater Milwaukee signed that letter. As Barbara pointed out, when we got this letter from the attorney from our space on legal letterhead, threatening slander charges or something to the, not a lawyer.
I'd like you to keep your comments regarding the audit.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. That being said, if I cannot comment on that letter, then I would just say thank you for the time. These are very serious issues, and the National Alliance on Mental Illness would have signed on to that letter if this wasn't very important to people in this community in Milwaukee County. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Right. Mr. Hare, do you mind coming back up to the table? I just wanted to, I'm sorry, normally when we discuss audits, we do ask the auditor if they're aware of the outstanding issues. There were 11 areas identified, and where are we today with those recommendations?
Madam Chair, what we would like to do in a situation like this is we gave management a very short time just to reply to the issues, and they gave a general and supportive reply. What I would suggest to you is that in the near term, you pick the time frame that we work with management to come back with you with the status of implementing the recommendations that were addressed to them. That would be 8 of them. In addition to that, the 4 that were directed to our space, should it be your interest in continuing your relationship with them, we would suggest that they come back here as well with the status. I think a number of these have been implemented, but after the audit, I know some things have been done in addition, and you should be apprised of those as well.
Okay. And just a quick question. So this, one of the speakers described this as a long-standing problem. Do you add the conclusions of your audit that these were long-standing problems?
I would say this. A number of the issues that we looked at in that list of nine did have dates that went well back several years. The kind of critical mass of all nine of them at once, I can't say that all nine of them were in play 3 years ago, but it's clear from the documentation that a number of these, in particular some of the more serious issues, have been out there for several years. I'll leave it at that. I understand some of the other concerns with the review, but as you know, we take our work primarily from you. We don't generally respond to requests from management, but we put this project ahead of a number of major audits that are in the 2012 budget because we thought the weight of it and importance of it was, you know, worthy of our immediate and thorough consideration.
Thank you very much. Supervisor Stafford?
Thank you, Supervisor Lomas. The answers to the, you know, how you got the audit, then you have our space's response. Who did those responses? Executive director or staff person?
That's a great question. Madam Chair, the way the process worked is after we complete our draft, we sat down with the executive director at our space, walked her through all of our findings, conclusions, and recommendations, and then she was responsible for shepherding the response from that agency to the four recommendations directed toward our space. So it was Ms. Lawrence and her board and her staff that put together that she signed it.
And I guess I'd just like to put this in context. This is a very unusual audit in that it was triggered by the department head based on information received from an outside agency and then conducted on an agency. And the fact that we got a response to the audit from anybody other than our space is highly unusual. I've never seen it before. And so generally what happens when you conduct an audit is that, you know, Mr. Hare did the audit of our space responds, and that's it. And so this was a little bit unusual, and I'm actually struggling with maybe thinking that it would be appropriate to have Ms. Lawrence come forward as the director of our space and to discuss the findings of the audit if the committee is amenable to that.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Lawrence, would you like to come forward, please? Because again, Mr. Hare can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a little unusual that you don't ask the person audited to come forward and respond.
This was an unusual process.
Yes.
I'm Joan Lawrence. I'm the director of our space. Good morning. I've been of our space 11 years. We've done a peer support program since 2004. For many years, we had the only peer support program in town. We did not do a perfect program. We made mistakes along the way, because you do when you're doing program development. Many of the concerns that were expressed in the initial November 30th letter, very frankly, we did not recognize. They were half-truths, they were distorted, and they had never been brought to us for us to address internally. I realize confidentiality is an issue, but agencies work together all the time, and we find ways to communicate with each other without violating confidentiality so that issues can be addressed. None of these were ever brought to us. I was shocked to learn last week that this has been going on for 3 years, and we were completely and totally unaware of that fact. This has been very hard on the agency. It's been very hard on me personally because I felt that 11 years of work and suddenly this is my reputation. It's been very hard on the staff, But it's been very hard on the peer specialists. And those are the people I'm most concerned about, those and the people we serve. And I think the people who have not been mentioned here are the people we serve. I don't see a complaint from a resident, yet we work at 4 housing developments. I don't see a complaint from a patient at the BHD. Generally, when an agency gets complaints, those are the type of complaints you're going to get. I cannot, you know, discuss Ms. Berizon's concerns publicly. I would be violating confidentiality. I would be happy to do so privately with her present, actually. Stipend issue is a very good example of the issue, the problem here. We took over the Office of Consumer Affairs at Milwaukee County in 2006 at the request of the then administrator, Jim Hill, because that office was beginning to do peer support and he did not feel they were doing it well. On the other hand, we were doing it well, in his opinion, because we were doing it in crisis services at the time. There were 3 people doing peer support, very few hours a week. Today, there are more than a dozen, many hours a week. So to pay 3 people stipends, when that's always been the tradition, is very different than paying 12 people stipends. We actually went to Mr. Hill and discussed that maybe it was time to make these people employees, because we were frankly concerned about an IRS audit of some kind or a state unemployment audit. And the county really wasn't ready to change that at that time. We were happy to change it when Miss Lucy asked us to. But that's a very good example, because the world in 2006 in peer support was a very different world than the world in 2012. And being the agency that developed it, we're the agency that sort of learned from it. You learn that your workman's comp insurance goes up. You learn that your unemployment insurance goes up. You learn all kinds of things. I would love to do seminars for other agencies interested in doing peer support. Ms. Neubauer spoke about...
Okay, if we could... I need you to keep your comments also to the
audit. Okay. Can I just say this now? Done? Ms. Neubauer spoke about being an R-Space employee and then being hired by community advocates. We had a Healthier Wisconsin grant, $450,000 grant, to put peer specialists in other agencies, to expose those agencies to peer support. That's 3 years. We were evaluated, analyzed. I assure you they would have found many of these things if they existed. And then community advocates hired Ms. Neubauer afterwards because we had taught them the value of peer support. Thank you very much. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. All right. Other questions for Ms. Lawrence? Supervisor Semper?
Yes. Ms. Lawrence, you said you... Thank you, Supervisor Pickett-Holmes. You said you started the program? You were the innovator of the program?
Yeah, and what happened was in September of 2004, Paul Radomski, who was then Director of Community Services at Milwaukee County, came to us and asked us to develop a peer support program and do a housing program with another agency that actually no longer exists. And they would do the apartments and work with the case managers, and we would do peer support. And that was how it started. We had $17,000 and a dream.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Permission to ask about the letter from the attorney sent to the letter writers?
I'd actually rather keep everything. We have to stay germane to the subject. And
okay.
So the subject is the audit. And so I think all the corporation counsel sitting back there. I think that to stay within our parameters, we'll have questions. Lindsay, by all means, you can ask somebody who wants to discuss. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. We do have two more cards. Thank you, Ms. Morris.
Thank you.
All right. John Doherty.
Good morning, Supervisor Roma West and committee members. My name is John Doherty, and I'm the acting chairperson of the Milwaukee County Combined Community Services Board. I've sat on the board for over 30 years, and this is the only second time I've appeared before a committee, and I'm doing so because there's a level of concern that our committee had with respect to the response to some of the concerns that were raised. And I know I've only got 2 minutes, so I'll be as talk as quickly as I can. Our committee voted unanimously to reject the staff recommendation that the contract be extended. We did so for several reasons, and I'll just list them rather than to take any of my time up.
Mr. Doherty, I need you to keep your comments germane to the audit.
I will.
Okay, you're discussing the contract. The contract is item number 7. Did you wish to speak on item number 7?
No, I'd like to speak with respect to this. You heard about the compensation, the independent contractor status. You've heard about the fact that that background checks weren't done uniformly, and in fact that in the audit it clearly shows that that individuals were placed at BHD that didn't have the background checks made. I personally found that to be of major concern. It was only a BHD staff member, I believe Ms. Whitmer, that did a background check on all her staff and then found out that there was a placement there. And then there's a difference in terms of, as depicted in the audit, where that you've got employees stating one thing and the agency stating another, and you've got staff members at BHD that, based on the audit, clearly emphatically deny that they made statements that the agency claims they have. So you got it. He said, she said, I'm real sorry that you're in the position to have to try to sort this out because it's really unfair. This is the third time you've dealt with this issue, and I don't envy you to try to do it because it is a very difficult situation. I think Mr. Hare did a great job in terms of the audit, I just think that this rises to a level that I had to show up for today's meeting. CCSB supports the peer specialist without question, and that we urge you to just make sure you read all the materials and move forward on that basis. Lastly, there is an error in the resolution when you do deal with a contract later that I think I made Ms. Lucy aware of earlier that would want to be edited before you take the action not an action on the contract. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. Our committee was spent a lot of time on this. Thank you.
Molly Yocum. Molly Yocum from Mental Health of Wisconsin, Mental Health America of Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello. Thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Molly Yocum, and I'm here on behalf of Mental Health America of Wisconsin. Our CEO and president, Christina Finnell, signed the letter. And I'm just here to let you know that Mental Health America echoes the concerns specifically around professionalism with evaluations and compensation for peer specialists. And we would really appreciate the time that you are putting to considering this audit as well as this contract. So thank you.
Thank you. Jason Marks?
Marti. Hello. My name is Jason Marti. Good morning to all of you. I'm sorry, a little frazzled this morning. I just want to state that for the record, my name is Jason Marti, and I'm a former employee of R Space Incorporated. I was employed there for 2 years before going to NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness. I just want to state that the concerns on the audit are definitely factual. They're true. And I would like just a brief minute to just kind of make a summation of the situation to make it kind of plain and simple, if I may. Not only are those the audit concerns true, but I am a person who personally gives my best at any job that I have a high work ethic as far as what I put forth as far as professionalism, et cetera. I poured my heart and soul into our space, into that position at the Crisis Resource Center. And as a person, as a consumer myself, I cannot justify, nor could I justify any longer after 2 years, serving our space and being mistreated by management and then turning over and knowing that that's how the management at our space cared about me as one of their employees, to treat my peers as well as I treated them, knowing that if they cared that little about me, how could they care about the people we serve? The bottom line is that peer specialists, the numbers speak for themselves, are making a huge difference. And I think it's time that their voices are heard in regards to these matters. I could go over a list of specifics, probably about 20 things long, that were just unprofessional. It doesn't even begin to cover it. But the bottom line is consumers, whether it be our space employees or anywhere, need to be treated with respect and dignity in their workplace. We don't expect to be treated at our space, none of the people that I've worked with, as any less professional than anyone else. And if our terms and conditions of our employment should be treated, we should be treated as equals. That's all I want to say today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Is there anything further on item number 6, the audit? Is there anyone who filled out a card to speak on item number 7 who now believes that their comments are more generally directed towards the audit? Okay, why don't you come forward? What is your name?
My name is Carmen.
Okay. Thank you.
I am currently a supportive apartment coordinator at Empowerment Village National, which our space is the employer. I also supervise a team of 7 peer specialists. I have been involved in the mental health field since 2001, and my background is really important because I have been the certified peer specialist trainer from day one. I was actually the initial trainer in 2005 when Joan, our space, Milwaukee County, rolled forward with this program, and I was the trainer until 2008. I was actually working with Grassroots Empowerment Project, and we partnered and contracted with our space. And as you can see, Grassroots Empowerment Project was on the letter. During that time, we didn't receive any complaints or concerns because I know we would have addressed them. I also want to let you know that I was trained by Recovery Innovations, and they are actually a pioneer in developing a peer workforce nationally and worldwide. So I kind of want to give you an idea of my knowledge and background. You know, I'm putting myself at risk here because I know both sides. Yes, I'm a current employer, but on the other side, I have a former employer who I still have a really good relationship with, and many of them are my colleagues. But I feel like what I'm saying is the right thing to do. When I read the audit, I was kind of surprised because the issues were not addressed internally. I kind of wondered how come our space was not given the opportunity to handle this themselves and address it and kind of go through that chain of that ladder, per se. Like I said before, you know, how come these concerns were not brought to our attention from 2005 to 2008? I was also the trainer again in the fall of 2011 when this letter was written. None of these concerns were brought to my attention until the March of 2012. And I'm kind of wondering where the disconnect was because I am quite involved in the peer and consumer movement. I have never felt abused or have seen abuse occur at our space. I have been a former employee I want to say 2003, 2004. And, you know, and I've come back and forth with Our Space. I have a long working relationship. And Joan has actually been really supportive to me, my recovery, and my professional work.
Okay. If you have comments written, if you'd like to submit them to Jennifer, we would be more than happy to have them.
Yeah.
Is there any questions for Mrs.
No, just for us.
Supervisor Stafford?
Thank you, Chairman. Was there a method to complain or grievance before the audit?
Mr. Hare, do you have an answer for that? Supervisor Stemper would like to know if there was a method for grievance before the audit.
Madam Chair, there are a number of avenues that could be taken, were taken. There is documentation that there were some ongoing meetings between members of the groups that signed the letter and Our Space and management. I think what finally happened was it all got rolled into one big bundle with all of the ongoing concerns dating back several years right up till today. Vendors have the opportunity to contact, vendors or advocates have the opportunity to contact management. They can contact the county executive. They can certainly contact you or our office as well.
Okay.
And those avenues, part of the whistleblower policy will be to more publicly display those avenues to the clients and staff as well. Executive directors can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment with one of you or with the exec. And I know from my experience that so could staff and so could clients, but this whistleblower plan that is out there now should reinforce and guide people who want to do that in the future.
All right. Is there anyone else, again, who has filled out a card for item number 7 who now believes that their comments are more appropriately directed at item number 6, which is the audit? All right. Madam Clerk, please read item